2 weeks ago today, a shooter opened fire at the Washington Navy Yard. It turns out the suspected shooter, Aaron Alexis, was in Newport last month, where Newport police were called to his hotel room, and he reported hearing voices. The encounter, combined with others, has spurred debate about whether authorities should have seen red flags and done more. Lieutenant Colonel Michael Winquest is Deputy Supervisor for Field Operations with the Rhode Island State Police. He trains state troopers on how to handle people with mental illness, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Police are not clinicians, so what skills do they have when they come across someone who seems unstable?
We receive some training to recognize certain mental disorders that need attention. So it can be anywhere from major depression to schizophrenia to somebody that's in distress as a result of some mental illness.
In the case of Aaron Alexis, after Newport police had their exchange with him, they actually tried to notify Navy police, and it's not clear what kind of follow-up happened there. So how much does it complicate the situation when you have all these different layers of law enforcement? You have hospital staff, Newport police, Navy police in this case?
Right. Obviously, there's a lot of people involved in a situation like this. The officer at the scene, really, his job is to maintain the safety and get that person into a facility where they can be properly diagnosed. After that point, really, the law enforcement officer, all he can do is bring the facts to the attention of the emergency room physicians, and really it's in the hands of medical professionals at that point.
But it seems like that didn't happen in this case.
I'm not aware of what happened. Once the person was brought to the attention of medical professionals, but obviously I have to respect their opinion. I'm not sure what facts were presented to them and their interaction with Mr. Alexis. I'm not sure how that went. So obviously, not having the facts, I really can't comment on what happened.
So State Police Lieutenant Colonel Michael Winquest, take me to the street level. What are officers seeing right now? And what do they use when they're trying to assess that situation?
Well, we see a wide range of things dealing with the public. One in every 10 persons suffers from some type of mental illness. Obviously, there's varying degrees of that mental illness. So we may be called to a person that's disrobing in public, or we might go to a call where a person's standing in the middle of traffic. So it ranges all over the place. But when we get to that situation, the best thing to do is to speak to the person, listen to what they have to say. And again, we don't want to cause a spectacle to isolate that person, because crowds of people can actually infuriate the situation.
So the officer can have an exchange with the person, try to talk to them, maybe try to calm them down a little bit. What else?
Well, you have to be sympathetic. If somebody's hearing voices, you don't want to tell them that they're crazy. Obviously, you want to tell them that you want to be sympathetic. You want to ask them what the voices are telling him to do. You want to basically talk the person into custody, versus putting your hands on a person like that can actually trigger a response. A natural response is that you're the person that's causing them the problem. So they're very introverted. They're very paranoid of law enforcement in general in that situation. So we have to keep that in mind when we approach people like that.
Now, Michael Winquest, you mentioned that 1 in 10 people have some form of mental illness. But how common is this sort of thing, really? I mean, how often do officers actually come in contact with somebody who says, "I'm hearing voices"? You know, something that goes beyond just a depressive kind of person.
It depends on the area that you work in. Obviously, in a downtown situation, a lot of these people are homeless because of their mental illness. So you might encounter more people in the downtown area. If you're in a more rural area, you're not going to probably see it as much unless you get called to a residence, and that happens quite often too. But depending on what area you work, it could be it's a very frequent occurrence. But again, some of the levels of psychosis, I should say, or some of the levels of mental health illness are far less and don't require immediate intervention. Often we'll refer that person to a mental health facility that's in their area.
And in the training that state police get, what kind of tools do you give them to try to help them determine when you're dealing with a person who could become violent?
Well, first, what we do is they're taught about the three major mental health conditions that we may encounter. One's major depression, one's schizophrenia. When you talk about hearing voices, that happens quite often. I can't recall the third offhand, but there's three major situations that we may encounter in our travels. So
But how does the officer know? I mean, how can the officer tell whether you're dealing with somebody who is just a little bit crazy or somebody who really has a propensity to become quite violent and could be a danger to others in the area?
Somebody that's hearing voices, we talked about that. If they're telling them to do harm to themselves or somebody else, I mean, that's a clear indicator. Someone that is extremely paranoid when we approach them. Some people are naturally fearful of law enforcement. I'm talking at extreme level. And sometimes there's physical indicators as well, rapid heart rate, they're sweating. If they're in a condition of the hysteria, so to speak, if they're crying, they're extremely emotional, up and down. Bipolar is the third condition that I couldn't remember earlier. So those are things that there are physical indicators that we can look for, and we really have to assess it, and that's done by speaking to the person and, if possible, calling family members if we can do that. But obviously, we don't have always the time to do that. So it's different on every situation that we approach.
It sounds like police are relatively limited in what they can do. They can try to talk to someone, try to calm them down, hope that they get help in an emergency room. Can they physically take that person to the emergency room?
They can. If they feel that person is an imminent threat to themselves or somebody else, we do have the legal authority to take that person in custody against their will and bring them to the local facility to be examined by a professional. So we do have that law, and thankfully we do have it, and it is used frequently for that situation. A lot of times you have to understand as well as when we approach somebody, they may not have a mental health condition. They may be under the influence of some type of drugs. So really there's a lot going on at that situation, but the best practice is to if you feel the person's hearing voices, if they're in a situation where they're elevated, is to bring that person to an emergency room to get assessed.
So, Rhode Island State Police Lieutenant Colonel Michael Winquist, in your opinion, then, should Newport Police have taken Aaron Alexis to an emergency room?
You know, I don't have all the facts in front of me, and I wasn't there to assess the situation. I have full faith in the Newport Police Department. I actually know some of the officers involved, and I know they're very professional officers. So, not knowing all the facts, I wouldn't like to comment on that, but I can tell you that if we come across somebody that's hearing voices and to the degree that they're being told to do some type of action, it is recommended that we take that person into custody to an emergency room to get evaluated.
Well, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Winquist of the Rhode Island State Police is Deputy Supervisor for Field Operations. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.